Before we start, I think it's good just to take a note that we talk about the Vaitaira for the upcoming Yom Tovim, whatever it is to be mechazik ourselves. As the days of El go on, and as the days of preparation for Yom Neroim and the Yom Neroim themselves go on, we become different people, even without trying. The Shofar has its effect on us every single day. It's softening us up a little bit each day, hearing that Shofar. Going to Slichas has its effect. Saying the Yud Gimel Midas, Hashem Hashem, has its effect. So each time that we sit down to learn, there's more of a chance and there's more hope for the words to penetrate. Our hearts have gotten that much softer. People don't realize what an exciting parasha Parashas Nitzavim is. Parashas Nitzavim has in it the nevuah of what's going to happen, Lasid Lavi. Parashas Nitzavim is a nevuah that didn't happen yet. So the Ramban says it over here, and the Ramban also says it in Parashas B'chukayse. So let's read some of the psukim just to see. We'll see what's coming. What's coming in the future. And it will be when these things that we mentioned in this week's parasha yesterday happen, the brachas and the klalas. So Klal Yisro, we don't stay asleep forever. There'll be a mass tshuva movement. Klal Yisro will do tshuva. Amongst the other nations, Vamish, a description of what's happening slowly today. Amongst the other nations that were in Golos, there'll be a massive feeling of tshuva. The whole Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. V'shavta al Hashem alakecha, you'll return to Hashem, v'shamata b'kailoi, k'chol Hashem anoichi nitzavecha hayoim ato v'onecha, b'chol levavcha v'chol nashecha, you'll return to Hashem with your whole heart. And then it goes on to describe, so what's Hashem going to do? Hashem's going to bring you to Eretz Yisrael. Even if your people are pushed to the edge of the Shemayim, the other side of the world, which we're certainly on, so Misham Yikachecha, Hashem will take us from there. Hashem will bring us back from there, and Hashem will bring us back to the land that He promised us, that He gave to our fathers. And then again, it talks about tshuva. Umal Hashem alakecha eslavavcha v'eslavav zarecha. Hashem will do a bris milah. Hashem will circumcise our hearts. Hashem will open up our hearts. Le'avos Hashem elakecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha, to love Hashem. And then he goes on to describe that all these curses that are described in the Torah will come on our enemies, not on us. And Hashem will spare us in privitnecha, privehemtecha, priadmascha, and all things in children, in animals, in fields, in crops. Everything will be l'tayva. And Hashem will return to a situation where He rejoices in pouring good on us. Yashav Hashem lasus alecha l'tayva. Lasus is a lashon of sasain. Lashon of sasain, or yasis alayecha l'kayach kimsais chasan alkala. The lashon of simcha. Hashem will rejoice for pouring tayva on us. Because you listen to Hashem. And then over there it describes again, Ve'ata sasha v'shamata b'kayel Hashem, and you will return and listen to the voice of Hashem and do all His mitzvahs that I commanded you today. So it's an interesting setup of the psukim. It says you'll do tshuva, your whole heart, and then it says Hashem will open your heart. But you kind of wonder, once I did tshuva, so what does Hashem have to open my heart for? I did tshuva. And then after that it says, and then you will return to Hashem, v'ata sashuv. I just did tshuva. It's very, very, very repetitive, these psukim. It's really mentioned more than three times, but I broke it down. If you look at the psukim into three separate places, that it talks about tshuva, then it interrupts with something else, then it talks about tshuva, then it interrupts with something else, and then it talks about tshuva again. So I want to try to explain and understand what's the three steps over here that are mentioned in the Pasuk, and the Mirtz Hashem will be zeichet to experience them soon, so we should have some understanding of them. We all know that the Luchais, that Moshe Rabbeinu got on Har Sinai, came in two versions. There was version one that was broken, and then they got the second edition. And there was a big difference between the first edition and the second edition. The first edition, Moshe Rabbeinu did not carve out the stones himself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of that for him. Hashem carved out the stones, and Hashem wrote on them, and gave them to Moshe, and Moshe Rabbeinu received the finished product, and he brought it down. And when he saw that the Yidden were doing the Egel, he smashed it. And then the whole Seder, he asked Hashem to forgive Klal Yisrael, the whole thing. And finally Hashem said, let's write new Luchas, second edition. But Hashem said, listen, you broke the first ones, you have to carve them out this time. And Psalucha Shnei Luchas Lavanim Kori Shainim, I want you to carve out two Luchas. So that's a big difference. You know, probably Hashem wasn't like lazy the second time or angry at Moshe. We don't ascribe such feelings to Hashem. If Hashem, it probably didn't take that much effort for Hashem to carve the first ones. Hashem could have probably just easily carved the second ones. What was the point that Hashem said to Moshe that the second ones you have to carve out? And what it indicates is, before we get to what it means, but what it indicates to us is, the Luchas represents our relationship to the Torah. It's what Hashem gives us to represent Him giving us the Torah. So if there's a difference between the way Hashem gave us the first Luchas and Hashem gave us the second Luchas, that means that our relationship to doing the Torah changed between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. So how did they change? How did it change? What changed between our relationship with the Torah in the first Luchas and our relationship in the second Luchas? So for this we have to go back to the roots and talk about Adam HaRishon, which we do every few weeks. And it's really the source of our understanding our world, is understanding the world of Adam HaRishon. Adam HaRishon had two phases in his life. He had the phase that lasted a few hours before he did the Avera, before he ate from the Eitz Hadas. Then he had the phase that lasted the other 929 and three quarter years, or most of the last year of his life, which is the phase of after the Avera. And he was a very, very different person before and after. Many changes happened to him before and after. And one of the ways that it's described, the changes that happened, is that in the words of the Ramban, that he says that before the chait of Adam, the Yetzirah stood outside of man, and after the chait, the Yetzirah went inside of man. In other words, when I say me now, I mean some kind of mixture of my Yetzir Tov and my Yetzir Hara. When Adam Rishon said me before the chait, he meant just his Yetzir Tov. The Yetzir Hara was a snake. It was an outside force. It influenced him, but it was from the outside. His whole being was Yetzir Tov. What this caused was, we don't realize how substantial and how different life is when the Yetzir Hara is inside. And we think it's like, you know, it's like it infiltrated, it's a little bit harder to control. It's a massive difference in our whole life. Because the way a person was created is that he has a mind and he has a heart. The mind is what he's able to perceive ideas. And the heart, that's the reality that he lives in, that based on what he feels in his heart, that's how he acts. And the way man was originally created was that he should be able to have an idea in his mind, and even an abstract idea, a lofty idea, and immediately translate it into action. It immediately, the mind and the heart, like the Bali Musa say, are not that far away from each other, and they're connected. There are commands that go from the mind to the heart. It shouldn't be that difficult for it to go from the mind and to be translated into my reality and my action immediately. But after Adam Rishon did the Chet, the Yetzer Hara went inside a person and it lodged itself, it stuck itself between the mind and the heart. It created an obstruction that made it very, very difficult for things to get from the mind to the heart. So even though I know, I learned Mesillas Yesharim the other day, and I know that all physical pleasures are not true good. And I believe it. And I know that serving Hashem is the only toivo amiti. It's the only true good. And I believe it. Yet still I'm drawn towards physical pleasures because there's some kind of disconnect between what I know and what I do. I'm still not living in the reality of what I know. I know that the best thing possible is to serve Hashem every minute. That's not the reality I live in because there's a disconnect between what I know and what I do. And I think we've talked about this before. I spent some time last night trying to come up with times that it comes up, this disconnect, that maybe we haven't realized in the past. We have to realize how far it reaches, this disconnect between the mind and the heart. It permeates, it affects every single area of our lives. I came up with a few examples just in day-to-day life, things that could come up in day-to-day life that we look at as just maybe a bad nidus or something they're struggling with, and I want to pinpoint that the issue is the disconnect between the mind and the heart. A husband tells himself that if his wife smashes up his car, It's really all Bidei Shamayim. There's nothing that he could do about it. It's Bidei Shamayim. It's Gzeira from Hashem. And Shalom Bayis is for sure more valuable than a car. Everybody knows that. It's a no-brainer. It's for sure more valuable than a car. And he tells that to himself before, maybe even consciously, when his wife is out there driving, and he knows that it's very possible the car is going to come back looking a little different than it did when it first pulled out of the driveway. He knows, and he tells himself, I'm not going to be upset, because I know it's all Bidei Shamayim. And then the car comes back, missing a bumper or something, and suddenly you're furious. What? Just 10 minutes ago, you said to yourself, it's Bidei Shamayim. And you believed it. It wasn't like you were like, well, you had a hard time. It's Bidei Shamayim. I'm not going to get angry. My Shalom Bayis is more important. Finish. Smile. And then she drives up. Boom, the anger comes out. What happened? Maybe it's a psychological issue. What happened? Just 10 minutes before, we're 100% confident, it's completely Bidei Shamayim. What happened? That's the disconnect. My mind was 100,000% convinced, so convinced that I didn't even realize that my heart wasn't convinced. That's how convinced we are. Because my whole mind is convinced. I don't have any doubt at all. It's a no-brainer that hurting my wife's feeling is not worth it at that point. It's a no-brainer. Nobody will argue with you. It's not like we can have a discussion about it. It's a no-brainer. My whole mind is convinced. But my heart, my reality, it still hasn't penetrated that midah is more valuable than the anger I feel when I see one of my prized possessions misshapen. A disconnect. It's not that I have bad midahs, that I'm a kaisen, or these things. I worked on it. And I thought about it, and I discovered what the truth is. But it didn't penetrate. It was that blockage, the Yetzirah is inside me, and it blocks what I know from what I actually do. We all believe that Hashem is in this room. We believe it, we know that Hashem is in this room. And we know that Hashem is listening to every word we say. And yet, unfortunately, we still find with ease that we can speak Lashon Hara, we can say brachas without kavana, with ease, even though we know that we're right in front of Hashem. We must be crazy. Imagine you're driving on the highway, and a little bit faster than you should, and you see a cop on the side of the road. You slow down. You have to be crazy to speed in front of a cop. The cop's not there. It's one thing, you could risk it, but if the cop is there, you have to be crazy. And the cop is right here in this room. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. He's watching us, and we just go on speeding. How does that work? How does that work? We're good people. We're logical people. We make sensible decisions in life. And suddenly we like become completely crazy. We all believe that there's Hashem in the world. We all believe that He's the King. We all believe that He's here. We all believe that He commanded us. And then in front of His face, we just ignore Him. And we're not even bothered by the question. What happened? Like, what went wrong? The answer is the disconnect. My five senses don't tell me that Hashem is here. My seichel tells me that Hashem is here. My five senses tell me that Hashem is not here. I don't see Him, I don't hear Him, I don't taste Him, I don't feel Him. My senses tell me that Hashem is not here. My heart is more open to the feelings of my five senses, of my body, than it is to the abstract understanding of my mind. And even though my mind fully understands that Hashem is here, it hasn't yet fully penetrated into my reality that I'm in front of Hashem. That's a very, very hard thing that we have to work on. And even if we achieve it for a moment, it's easy to lose. Because there's that disconnect. The Sefer HaChinuch says, another example, the Sefer HaChinuch says you're not allowed to take revenge if someone does something bad to you. The reason you're not allowed to take revenge is because that person didn't do anything bad to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did. What the story is with that person, if he should be punished or not, that's Hashem's business. But if we suffer at the hands of another person, it's because Hashem decided that we should suffer at the hands of another person. Simple. And we all know this, it's obvious, it's not a chiddush. It's obvious, it's pashut, we all know that everything that happens to us, Hashem decided should happen to us. And yet we still cannot hold ourselves back that when someone messes us up in business or in a personal life or whatever it is, sometimes we become infuriated at people. And with us who believes that everything that happens to us comes from Hashem. It doesn't really make sense. I don't know, maybe sometimes people don't realize that there's a stira in that. It's a stira to be angry at someone who does something bad to you and to believe in Hashem. It's a stira. It's a contradiction. So how does that work? How does that work out? And we can say it in the same sense. In the same sentence, amazing thing, in the same sense, we could say, everything is in the hands of Hashem, and I wish I could kill that person who did such and such. We can say it in the same sense, even though it's a complete contradiction. It's because there's a disconnect between the mind and the heart. You ever have sometimes something, we could be going through something very difficult, a very, very tough thing. So we go over to ask advice to somebody, what should I do? I'm going through a very, very tough time. So the person says, you have to remember that everything is in the hands of Hashem, and Hashem is in charge of everything, and Hashem loves you more than a father could love his children. Everything is beyond Hashem. Is our reaction, okay, I feel much better now. Thanks. Glad you cleared that up for me. It's not our reaction. Why not? Doesn't that make sense? Do you disagree with any of those points? Everything is beyond Hashem? We agree. We fully understand it. We believe that it's true. And still we have a hard time living with that reality because of the disconnect. There's a blockage between what we understand and the way we live. We believe that in Rosh Hashanah Hashem told us, one more example. We believe that on Rosh Hashanah Hashem told us how much money we're going to have this year. We believe it. Hashem had made a psak, how much money? Maybe it was Rosh Hashanah, maybe it was Yom Kippur, but there was a psak, how much money you're going to have this year. And I could do all the hishtadlis in the world, or I could lay in bed all day. Hashem already decided how much money I'm going to have. Now we have a chiyuv to do hishtadlis, and it's a klala, and b'zei asabecha t'aychalecha, and we have to do what we have to do to put food on the table. But what we have to do, that's our obligation, what we have to do. But we firmly believe, we dive into Hashem and Yom Kippur, and we say, Hashem, you know, Avinu Malkeinu, you know, please send Parnasa to Klal Yisrael. We believe that it's all in the hands of Hashem. And yet, we still, when we sit with our accountants before tax season, we still possess with this unbelievably inexplicable urge to change around the truth so that we can get away with saving money. Why? Why? Hashem can't figure out how to do it without lying? Why do we feel that way? Where is that? It doesn't make any sense. We dive into Yom Kippur, we sat in shul, we fasted, we cried, we begged Hashem to please give us money. Then we turn around the next day and we try to change around the facts so that we should have more money. Why would we do that? That doesn't make any sense. Don't we believe, Ben Gurion Shleima, that everything comes from Hashem? So what would make me change? There's a disconnect. Especially the disconnect between the reality that we live in and the thoughts that we understand. And this is true in many, many, many areas, this disconnect. Rami, it just happens to be, mamish coincidence, that I'm staying over now with Rav Dessa that we learned together 6 years ago. So that's what happened after Adam Rishon did his chait. The Yetzer Hara came in and caused that blockage. It's a very big struggle for us. It's a big struggle. It's maybe the biggest struggle that we have. And that's what happened between the first Luchas and the second Luchas. The first Luchas Hashem gave us, we were like Adam Rishon before the Chet, as the Gemara says. So the stones which represent our heart and our bodies and that physical part of us, the stones came straight from Hashem. No blockage. No blockage. Hashem, just like Hashem put the words on the stones, Hashem gave the stones. No blockage. 100%. Everything's connected. That was by the first Luchas. Because we had achieved the Madrega then of getting rid of our Yetzer Hara. But after we did the Egel, and the Yetzer Hara came back inside of us, then we became like Adam Rishon after the Chet. And then, no longer does Hashem provide the stones. We have to chisel them out. We have to make ourselves ready. We have to prepare ourselves. Psalachosh neiluchas, form the stones yourself. And after you make your heart ready, then v'chasafti al haluchas, then I'll write the Divrei Torah on the luchas. Then I'll be able to imprint myself on your heart. But now after in the tkufa of the second luchas, there's the disconnect. And it takes a lot of hard chiseling, a lot of hard work, until that connection happens that makes the words of Torah and our heart one unit. So it comes out that when we talk about tshuva, you know, there's a big thing that people talk about, and it's a struggle that we all struggle with, that we all do tshuva, and then it wears off after a little while. The reason it wears off is because we decided to change actions, but we haven't changed our reality. Nobody ever told me, you know, I did construction on my house, I redesigned my house, I came back the next day, it was back the old way. It's amazing, my house just went back to the old way. So as many times as I pulled off the carpet and put on new carpet, I came back, the old carpet was back on. That doesn't happen. Once you redesign the house is redesigned. That's the type of tshuva that lasts. We have to redesign the house. We have to change our reality, the way we understand things. We have to change our relationship with Hashem. If we can change the roots, if we can change the reality, then we won't find ourselves just metamorphosing back into the old ways. This, our reality has changed. We'll talk in a few minutes about how we're supposed to go about doing this, which is not so easy. But just to answer our questions on the pasuk, there's a klal that the Alter von Kelm writes. It makes sense, very sensible klal. And he says it goes like this. He says, whenever Hashem gives us a challenge, we only have the challenge for as long as we haven't passed the test. But as soon as we pass the test, we no longer need that challenge anymore. It's very sensible. He says, Lamashal, a very interesting thing. He says, we live in a world of nature, and really all nature is a nace. We all know that. So the fact that when we turn on the lights go on is a miracle. But to us, it's nature. And that's one of our challenges in life, to recognize that everything is Hashem. Hashem makes the grass grow, Hashem makes the trees flower, and so on and so forth. It's all beyond Hashem. Hurricanes, it's all completely beyond Hashem. That's a, you know, it's a little bit, it smells a little bit of almost of a kfira, when people go, the weather is disgusting. I hate this weather, you know. There's nothing more in the hands of Hashem than the weather. And that's our challenge in life, to realize that when it's raining, Hashem is sending rain on us. Hashem's pouring the rain on us. For us to live that way, that's a big challenge that we have. It's a very special boy that I know in Eretz Yisrael. He's married now, but when I was a bachur in yeshiva, he was a bachur there also. An Eretz Yisrael dikka boy from a very chashuva family, Gera family, a Chassidish family. And I was once in the Beis Medrash, Bein Hasdarim in Pachad Yitzchak, and it was raining outside, like it is for most of the winter in Yerushalayim. And I see him standing, Pachad Yitzchak has these big floor-to-ceiling windows. And I see him just staring, like, with his head out the window. So I was wondering if he's okay, is everything all right? So I walked over to him, I was like, is everything okay? He's like, yeah, I was just thinking. Like, what were you thinking about? So he tells me, I was thinking about how every single drop is landing exactly where Hashem told it to land. I was like, whoa, that's what you were thinking about? I wasn't thinking about that. But he's right. That's our challenge of our life, to realize that. We get like so angry when we get caught in bad weather. It was a decision, because Baruch Hu made a decision. So the Alter says that we don't have miracles happening to us. We don't have that. We don't have open miracles happening to us. The Alter says the people who have open miracles happening to them are the people who looked at nature as a miracle. Because once you pass the test, once you succeed, and you no longer look at nature as nature, you look at it as a miracle, there is no difference between a miracle and nature anymore. So Hashem doesn't have to play this game, and miracles could happen. So the person who looks at nature as a miracle, he can have miracles. But the person who looks at nature as nature, Hashem won't give him miracles because he hasn't yet passed that challenge. The same thing is true here. All Hashem has to do is pull out that blockage between our mind and our heart. Everything, all the plumbing will start functioning a lot better. Everything will be so much easier. But that's our challenge right now. The challenge Hashem gave us is to take what's in our mind, which we know, it's not a lack of knowledge, and to have it penetrate into our heart, that it becomes a reality, that that's the life that we lead. As soon as we do that, then Hashem says, I'll remove the blockage. And then you'll lead a different life. You'll lead a life of closeness to Hashem. And those are the three steps in the pasuk. The first step is, after the brachas and klolos come, v'hashivoysa el avavecha. You'll bring it into your heart. V'hashivoysa el avavecha, that's the first step of the tshuva. It's hard work with a chisel, chiseling away at that blockage until we force it open. And our heart lives with the reality that's in our mind. The next step is Umal Hashem Alekecha Slavav Chavia Slavav Zarecha. Hashem will take away, Hashem will circumcise our hearts, will take away that blockage. We no longer will have that disconnect between the mind and the heart. The Ramban on that pasuk brings a pasuk in Yirmiyah that says, Nosati Tayrasi Bekirbam, I gave my Torah to them, Ve'alibam Echtavena, and on their hearts I will write it. That's Umal Hashem Alekecha. Hashem says, I'm going to write the Torah on your heart for you. It's a full connect. Hashem writes it in our hearts. And after that, then the pasuk says, and then you will live a life of tshuva. You'll live a life of closeness to Hashem. You won't have to go off and then go back on. You're going to live a life. It's a description of life from here on, that it's going to be a life of closeness to Hashem. So that's the steps, that if I manage to penetrate, if I manage to break through, so when I manage to break through, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you broke through, I'm going to clear away the rubble now. And I'm going to help that connection remain. That's what's going to happen very soon. So Ramban says it's going to happen, Lasid Lavay. That's what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. But there's a little secret here about how relevant this that's going to happen when Mashiach comes is to today. The Sfarim teach us that the cycle of the world from the beginning of creation until the end of time is repeated in small every single year from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. And just like in the end of time there's going to be a big Yom HaDin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to bring the whole creation to judgment, that's what Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur are. At the end of a year, we start the new year with a tremendous Yom HaDin. And just like after that Yom HaDin, Hashem is going to bring us into Asid Lavoi, and we're going to be sitting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and so on and so forth, that's Sukkos. That Sukkos is a time of coming into the Sukkah, sitting with Hashem, Sukkas Oireh Shalav Yasam, the Anani HaKavod of sitting with Hashem, that's a mashal for what's going to be Asid Lavoi. And every year we go through that cycle. We live the life, the struggles, the ups and downs of life, and then we come to that big Yom HaDin, and then we come into the Sukkah and we appreciate the closeness to Hashem. It's a small cycle that happens every year. That's this little bit of a smell, of drop of an idea of the big Yom HaDin and the big coming into Hashem's Sukkah that's going to happen in the end of time. So now let's think about it. If at the end of time, at the end of that time, there's going to be a massive awakening of tshuva on the part of Klal Yisrael, and the end of the year is a little bit of a me'ein of the end of time, so that means at the end of the year there's a little bit of a feeling of tshuva that's awakening in the hearts of Klal Yisrael. There's an echo of that awakening that happens every single year, and that's called Chodesh Elul. That's Chodesh Elul, when people get their act together and they start focusing on their ruchnias. That ability that we have to do that is because the end of the year draws strength from the end of time, where it says, V'ashi v'yisrael v'avecha, that Klal Yisrael will do tshuva. And let's take it one step further. And if at the end of time, doing the proper tshuva will lead Hashem to remove the blockage between our mind and our heart, and to make us permanently close to Hashem, so that means in our me'ein, in our small way, at the end of the year, if we'll be able to achieve some type of level of removing the blockage between the mind and the heart, we'll be able to have some permanent removal of the rubble, some permanent removal of the blockage that disconnects our mind and our heart. So following that line of reasoning, that means we're in a very, very, very powerful time of the year. We have the ability to change ourselves this time of year. That if we do the work, if we take out our shovel and start shoveling away at that blockage, clearing it away, and trying to bring into our heart the reality that's in our mind, Hashem in return will be Umala Hashem Alekecha Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav Zarecha, which not so coincidentally, Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav is Rashi Tevis Elul. Because it's something that's doable in Elul. It's an Elul thing. Es Levavcha Ve Es Levav, Elul. Okay, so that's all very nice, but then what do we do? How do you remove the rubble? How do you remove the blockage between the mind and the heart? We've talked over the past year or so, we've talked over different times about different ideas. I want to talk about a new idea this time. A new plan that maybe we could try to implement and institute to be able to clear some of the rubble away. But first I want to say over two ideas that the Alter von Kelm writes in two different letters that shook me up when I read them. First one is about a famous story in Navi. There's a story about Elisha HaNavi, Eliyahu HaNavi's Talmud, who brought a dead child to life. The child died, and he brought him to life. What did he do? He laid on the child, he put his hands on his hands, and his feet on his feet, and his face on his face, and he brought the child to life that way. So the Alter says, why did he have to do such a strange thing to bring the child to life? So the Alter brings a Radak. The Radak says that the human body is warm, and a dead body is cold. So what he did was he laid on him to transmit some of his life-giving warmth over to this dead body. So I would have read this Radak and just thought it's very, very interesting and gone on. But the Alter, who was so observant, so alert, he stopped and he said, "That's the craziest thing I ever heard. You mean to say that like what's the point of doing that? It was a miracle anyway. It was a miracle. What's the point of doing that?" So you'll say the point is to do a little bit of ishtadlus. Right? You don't want to make it a full miracle. You want to do a little bit of ishtadlus. So the Alter says, "Is that a little bit of ishtadlus? Like a little bit, it does help the kid get alive if you put a live person next to it. Have you ever heard of a live body and a dead body next to each other? And a little bit of life goes into the dead body? It's patently ridiculous." Because that's what he has to do to do a little bit of ishtadlus, something that's absolutely useless and meaningless completely? What is that supposed to mean? It's unbelievable. So the Alter says, that's our life. All the ishtadlus that we do to achieve the things that we have are exactly the same way. They're just as meaningless. Hashem made a gzeira on us that we have to do ishtadlus. It's meaningless. It's like taking a person lying down on a dead body and bringing it to life. What we get in life is a miracle that Hashem provides us. It's a miracle. Hashem provides us with that miracle. The fact that we did that little bit of ishtadlus, it's a fake. And if you have a little bit of a deeper vision, you could see that it's a fake, like in the case of Elisha. If you're a little bit observant, you're like, one second. It's not like, okay, Hashem, I'll do a little bit, I'll warm him up, and you can give him life. Like, it doesn't really help. You can put a dead body in an oven, it's not gonna come back to life. That's the first thing he says. The second thing he says is something that we grew up with this Chazal, and I was sitting there embarrassed when I read the letter in the Alter. It's something that we all know. We learned about it in nursery school, and we just somehow never realized the strong lesson that's there. Yaakov Avinu is traveling, and he goes to sleep in Har HaBayis. Everybody knows he has a dream. There's a ladder, Malachim going up the ladder, down the ladder. So what does he do when he goes to sleep? Everybody knows that he gathers stones around his head. Right? The stones had an argument. They turned into one stone. Everybody knows that. Why did he put the stones around his head? So Rashi says to protect them from wild animals. Now, if you've ever seen a big black bear, you'll know that if you lay down and you put some stones around your head, it's not going to help much. If you've ever seen a snake or a scorpion, you might discover that if you have stones around your head, it's not much of a protection. So the Alter says, what on earth is Yaakov Avinu doing? That's how he protects himself? He puts a couple of stones around his head? What kind of a protection is that? It's unbelievable. We just read this, we're like, oh yeah, he protected himself. It's ridiculous. Like, we're not realizing what we're reading. It's ridiculous. That's how you, if we were out somewhere and suddenly we got a report, there's wild animals around, there's chayas rois around. So you're like, oh, I have a great idea, let's put some stones around our heads. Like, it's not, like, it's ridiculous. You know, build a fortress, run away, hide in a tree, like, put some stones around your head. The Alter says that Yaakov Avinu knew that whether wild animals attack him or not is up to Hashem. He has to do that little bit, that ridiculous, silly little bit. Put some stones around his head, just to show that little bit of ishtadlus. We're a human being in this world, we have to do a little bit of ishtadlus. But he lived in, he was so connected. It was such a reality to him that really, like, if the big black bear comes, it's really all Hashem's decision anyway what happens. And he could sit there in front of 20 bears and just go to sleep without any stones, and if Hashem doesn't want anything to happen, nothing will happen. And he could lock himself up in the tightest fortress, and if Hashem wants something to happen, something will happen. That was so clear to him that he knew that in this world we have to do a little bit of ishtadlus. So he did the minimal ishtadlus. Now obviously, all of us, the levels of ishtadlus is a complex thing that Rav Dessler talks about. I'm not saying that we should just go home, put our feet up, and just do our little ishtadlus. I don't know what little thing we'll do. One of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, a few generations ago, he used to learn and learn and learn and learn and learn. And when he ran out of money, he would walk around the streets of Yerushalayim until he found money on the floor and he would come home. That's a level of ishtadlus for someone on a very, very high madrega. For us, we're not on that madrega. And Rav Dessler says, if we're not on that madrega, we better not try it. We have to do what we have to do. But I was thinking that maybe one way that we could live in the reality that our mind knows is something that with a little bit of effort it's possible to do. And that's acting as if. Act as if. And that means like this. That means that I know that everything is B'day Shemayim, completely B'day Shemayim. Everything Hashem, all the money, everything is B'day Shemayim. And yet, when I got a letter, like I got a few weeks ago, I got a letter in the mail that my house was reassessed and I owe a few hundred dollars more in real estate taxes, I get very, very upset. Even though it doesn't make any sense, because I already knew, I just gave a share about it. I already know that everything is Bidei Shamayim. But the disconnect is there, and I get upset. If I tell myself, but I know in my mind that it's Bidei Shamayim, my heart is very upset now. I'm going to act based on the way my mind is. Even though I don't feel like my heart is with me, I'm going to smile. I'm going to say, this is nothing to worry about. I'm not going to worry my family. I'll take care of it. If I act as if my mind and heart are connected, Ha'adam nifal kefi pe'ulaysa, Mesil Zishram says, a person, sometimes they say that someone who doesn't have confidence, so there's nothing to do to get confidence sometimes. Act confident, and you'll be confident. Many times they say, go in and act confident. They say that the posture of a person, that if he sits in a way that shows like a lack of confidence, so then it will make him less confident. And if he sits in a more confident posture, so then he'll be more confident. We know it in our minds. There's a disconnect. Let's act as if. It comes up in so many ways. This story that we're talking about, we come back, our car looks a little different than it did before she took it out. So we're raging inside, even though we know it doesn't make any sense. But we're raging inside. I'm going to act as if I fully believe that it's completely Bidei Shamayim. It's not so easy, but that's how I'm going to act. And I may find that if I act that way, Itaka helps it connect. Itaka helps it become more that way. I find out that someone double-crossed me in business. So again, I know everything's Bidei Shamayim and so on and so on and so forth. And yet when I find it out, I feel like sending the mob after him. I'm going to act as if, when I see that person in my mincha, I'm going to walk up and say, what's going on? How's it going? How are the kids? I'm going to act as if I know that it has nothing to do with me, that it's between me and Hashem. That's how I'm going to act. My heart's not there. But there's such a thing that if I act as if, Adam nifal kafi pe'ulaysov, it helps the confidence and the connection happen. So maybe that this is a zman mesugal, this time of year, that we do the v'hashevaysa elavavecha, we're zeicha to umal Hashem es levavcha, Hashem takes it away. So I think it's maybe a special time that we could take even little things. We can't take something too big, we're not going to even be able to act. We have to take the little things where it's easier to act as if, you know, the bad weather or something like that, and act as if. And not tell us that some people live like, you know, everything is from Hashem, but I know like this is the real world. Not to do that, but to act as if I'm fully connected. And we may find that if we act as if we're fully connected, we'll tackle be more and more and more connected, and one thing affects the other. And in so many other ways also, a good mood and a good matzav and a good sense of Yishuv Hadas helps us deal with the next thing the right way. And everything snowballs, and who knows, if we could get a few snowballs rolling, we could change very many big things in our life. Okay.